Good morning.
Hello. I really have a lack of faith. I thought this morning we would be really low in numbers. It's great to see everybody. And you're really, really welcome, whether you've been coming to Welton for 40, 50 years, or whether this is your first time. Just hope and pray that today will be a real day where you just meet with God. We've got a load on, which is really good. And just welcome. I'm going to open with prayer. Sorry, my name is Mike Blowers. The normal leaders, the two Matts, are away for different reasons today, so you've got me. Hopefully it'll be okay, and it'll be good. The great thing is we've got Scott leading the sung worship, and Hattie is preaching, so that's going to be really, really good. Let's just commit our time to God. Let's just be quiet for a few seconds and just welcome God into this meeting, into our own individual space. Father, I thank you that as we meet together, you are our most amazing God, that despite all that may be going on around us, you are a God that is in control. You're a God that loves us. As we come into the start of the Advent season, we are going to be remembering so much the gift of Jesus and the great sacrifice of Jesus that has enabled us to have this relationship with you. And Father, I pray for each person as we look round the meeting here. I just thank you for each individual person. I just pray for each one that they will know your presence, that they will know your love, and that we together may give you praise today. May it be a good time. May we enjoy ourselves, but above all, may you be praised. May you be given the glory. Thank you for your love for us. I ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So just going to share a few words from Psalm 63, just to encourage us. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. May that be our prayer and our action today. As I said, we've got a few people away today. There are a number within the church who are involved in something called Invest, where they give up a part of their time for a year just to grow closer to God. They're away for a weekend. And it'll be good that we're going to pray for them. Just a particular prayer, one of our youngsters, Ian Munro, who's loved by all of us, is not well, and so we're going to pray for him. And I don't know about you, but I probably know more people who've got COVID than at any other time. And it'll just be great to pray for those people. So somewhere Claire is going to come up and pray for us. I put this on at right the last moment, so thank you, Claire, for agreeing to this. But I just think as a group it would be good to pray for these people.
Thank you. Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, Lord, we are so thankful that we can come to you and pray for these people that are poorly right now. Lord, those affected by COVID, as Mike's just said, names that come to mind, Mike Howell, those that are doing Invest, for Caroline that are unable to be there today, for Ian that's poorly today. Lord, there's many others that we know and those that are on our hearts that we just want to bring before you and ask for your healing touch. Lord, also those that are affected by other illnesses and those especially affected by mental health, especially at this time, Lord. It's a difficult time with COVID and coming up to Christmas for some. Lord, would you overcome? We invite you, Lord, to overcome these issues that people face. And Lord, we know that you've overcome the world, and so we can put our trust in you. Lord, we thank you again for your healing. Thank you for your miracles. This time of year, especially when we want to be expectant to see you move, Lord, we just invite you to move amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Claire, thank you for that. As I said, Hattie's going to come and share with us, and it's the final week of our Simplicity series, which I felt really has been really, really good, very challenging. Hopefully others have as well. And Hattie's going to be talking about habits and how to get into good habits. And just as I was thinking and praying this morning, I just wanted, one came to me. And a question. How many of you got one, have you got one of these, a water bottle? That's a good number. Okay, how many like me have probably got about 10 in the cupboard that we never take out and never use? So a lot of you are better than me. I don't know, I've got all these water bottles, and I know it's good to drink water, but I'm not very good at doing it. This is a bottle I found this morning, which was given to my wife Karen by the RUH. They really give them a load of things for being nurses at the moment. But it really touched me. It said on the bottle, it said, you can't drink from an empty cup. And that was really challenging to me about a habit of, I can have this cup. I've got 10 cups that I probably never used. And as a habit, how often do I go to the living water, to Jesus? Now, how often do I allow Jesus to fill my cup? And just wanted, before Sally comes and shares something with us, just to share a couple of verses about living water, about Jesus. The first is from John 4, verse 13. And this is where Jesus was talking to the Samaritan lady. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him, the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then in Revelation 21, verse 6, it says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give him drink, whoever, without cost, from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit this, and I will be his God and the water of life. As I prepared this morning, those are really words of encouraging, as Jesus is offering to be the water of life. But it's a habit that sometimes I and perhaps others of us don't enter into, is actually going to Jesus and asking us to fill us with that. And perhaps that's a habit that I already will be encouraged to do, and Hattie will no doubt be challenging us on others. Sally, I'm going to come and share one of our activities coming up.
Thank you. Good morning. Hopefully when you came in, you were given a little card like this. And it's New Testament in a nutshell. Now, some of you that have been here a while, I think maybe two and a half years ago, we had a similar thing, but it was the Old Testament in a nutshell. Put your hand up if you went along to that event. Okay, I didn't, but I hear it was very good. And so we've got another one coming up in the new year, and this is the New Testament one. So it says that it's interactive, memorable, fun, and engaging. Is that correct, Mike?
That's good.
Okay, good. So I know one of the things they do is that they teach you to remember the events of the New Testament, and it will be kind of through actions and keywords and things like that. So this is happening on, I've got my glasses, on the Saturday the 29th of January, and it's from 10 till 4:30 in the afternoon. So 18 plus is going to be £14 each, but it's recommended that the lowest age that come along is around 11. So 11 to 17 year olds, the event will be free. Okay, so look out for an email this week that I'm going to be sending out, which will give details of how to book and how to pay your money.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. This morning we're finishing our Simplicity series, and we're going to be looking at the simplicity of habits, and more specifically how life-giving habits, or what I'm going to call healthy habits, can bring simplicity to our lives. Does that sound all right? Cool. There are lots of different healthy habits that can bring us closer to God. You've got things like meditation, prayer, fasting, study, solitude, acts of service, worship, and the list goes on, doesn't it? And I obviously haven't got time to go into each of them in massive detail. But if you are interested in getting hold of this stuff, I really recommend this book. It's called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. It's not a light read, so I take it chapter by time, but it's really good. And I've quoted him quite a lot of times in this talk. So when I first knew that I was going to be talking about habits, I felt a little bit sick, if I'm honest, because I am not a master at integrating healthy habits into my life. I am a huge procrastinator. Anyone else guilty of a bit of procrastination? It took me literally 6 years to complete Couch to 5K, which is a 9-week running program. The first time I tried fasting was for Enfest a few years ago. By lunchtime, I was in tears. Grandma was feeding me mints. I obviously didn't tell anyone, but she was. Thanks, Grandma. I'm not great at this stuff. And when I talk about habits with different people, and maybe you feel the same way, I can often feel pretty guilty because I don't do them as much as I'd like to. I can feel quite embarrassed because I don't really want to admit that to people. And I can feel quite a lot of dread because they require hard work, don't they, and discipline. And all that is to say that my prayer today, really, for you guys is that you don't really come away feeling that stuff, feeling guilt and embarrassment and dread, but actually that you come away feeling inspired and motivated to make those changes in your spiritual life. And this morning we're going to look at both healthy habits and unhealthy habits, because I think that when we can address the unhealthy habits that are taking root in our lives, we create space for healthy ones to take shape. And since I was talking about habits, I thought I'd take this opportunity to just call a few people out on their unhealthy habits that have been bugging me. So firstly, I'd like to know my brother, William Robert John Coombs. He's just gone to uni, so you might not have met him. But he's got this really annoying habit that he started of leaving really good cups of tea that I'd made for him, just sat on the side, untouched, going cold. And one day I decided I'm going to confront him about this. It's driving me nuts. So when I did, he insisted that it never happens. It does happen. So I took it upon myself to create this shared family photo album where I took pictures of this happening. I've only got two, which is quite embarrassing, really, but I feel like I made my point quite clear. And on the subject of tea, we as a family, I'm just going to call my whole family out, we have the habit of creating what Mum calls the tea bag mountain. Don't know if anybody else has this. Where you're making cups of tea, that's it, and you leave the used tea bags on the side to create a mountain shape, because you couldn't possibly empty them into the food waste. So again, we got some evidence of that. Dad's, you can't really read that, but Mum's come home angry that we've done that, and Dad's just put score in a GIF. And then finally, I'd like to call out Matt Hebditch for always leaving really special gifts for us at the chapel where we work. Nice little empty cups of coffee. We've got some rubbish, some half-drunk bottles. It's such a pleasure clearing that up every single day. But anyway, the habits I'm talking about there, they're obviously, for the most part, pretty harmless, aren't they? And they don't have a huge effect on my life or the lives of other people. But the unhealthy habits that I want to look at today are the sort of things that we maybe don't really like to address, or we don't readily tell people, or they often go unseen. Maybe you can think of a few in your own life. Maybe you don't even realise that they've kind of taken hold a little bit. Maybe you don't like to acknowledge that they've got a bit of a grip on you, and they can sometimes leave us feeling a little bit of shame. There are a large list of things that we could think of. Maybe it's stuff like unhealthy habits, like unhealthy social media dependency, consumerist shopping habits, watching porn, finding comfort or confidence in food and drink rather than bringing that stuff to God. And these unhealthy habits, they're a byproduct of the culture that we live in, aren't they? They create barriers for us to get to the healthy habits that we want to see take shape. And healthy habits require discipline and sacrifice. And those are just two things in our sort of Western, very consumer-driven culture that they just aren't encouraged, and they're not really talked about. We hear a lot of messages all the time telling us to do what we want, when we want, prioritizing our happiness, seeking pleasure above everything else, constantly consuming stuff, and doing things to avoid feeling pain. But the habits you read about in the Bible, these healthy habits, they kind of encourage us to do like the complete opposite. They encourage us to make sacrifices every day, to sit with uncomfortable truths about ourselves, and to trust God as we wait to kind of see that reward. Often the reward doesn't feel instant. And we know that even though these take sacrifice, healthy habits produce a much better fruit than unhealthy habits, don't they? And I think most of us would probably choose healthy habits over unhealthy habits, but we so often find ourselves just living with the unhealthy ones. So we live in that tension of wanting to enjoy the fruit of healthy habits, but really feeling quite unable to integrate them into our lives. So what do we do about that? How do we remove the unhealthy habits in our lives and make space for the healthy ones? If you've got a Bible, we're going to be looking at Mark 14, verses 32 to 42. It's Mark 14, verses 32 to 42. And just before Daisy comes up to read it for us, just to give you a bit of context, Jesus is about to be crucified. He's about to go and die on the cross. And he is like carrying the enormous weight of what he's about to go through. He's just filled with anxiety. And so he takes his disciples, or his sort of closest friends, away to the Mount of Olives, and he just begins to pray to God. And this passage specifically looks at the habit of prayer, but I'm aware that there are other habits we could look into, but we're just going to focus on prayer today. So, Daisy, there you are.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass for him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for an hour? Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinner. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
So what does that passage teach us about healthy habits? We know that Jesus had the habit of prayer really well integrated into his life because we see it all throughout the Bible. You could probably think of lots of different stories. After he feeds the 5,000, before he chooses the 12 disciples, before he teaches his disciples how to pray with the Lord's Prayer, and there are many more examples. But I think there are four key ideas that we can take away from this passage about how Jesus was able to integrate the habit of prayer into his life. So are you ready to unpack this with me? Cool. Okay. So first thing is Jesus wasn't afraid to feel pain. If we go back to the passage, it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." We see here that when Jesus is facing his death, he didn't try to escape it like we so often can, or I know I can. He didn't turn to things and hope that he'd just feel better in the morning. He didn't like binge watch Netflix and turn to the chocolate cupboard like I know I probably would have done. He got down on his knees and he just pours his heart out to God in prayer, like he did every day. And often we can find ourselves doing everything to avoid solitude and prayer or being alone with God because we don't really want to feel pain or face what we're going through. Foster says, we can be tempted to drag ourselves away from the dark night of the soul and blame everyone and everything for our inner dullness. We seek a new church or spiritual experience to give us spiritual goosebumps. But this is a serious mistake. We need to be grateful that God is lovingly dragging us away from every distraction so that we can see him clearly. Rather than chafing and fighting, become still and wait. So are you tempted to avoid time with God because you don't want to feel pain, and there's stuff that you don't really want to address. And what are the things that you can be tempted to turn to? It's good to note as well that Jesus keeps his friends close by in this passage. He has complete transparency with them about how he's feeling. He says to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." There is such a humanness in the way that Jesus needs his friends to encourage him and to be accountable to him whilst he's praying to God. So who in your life can you bring alongside you to encourage you and to keep you accountable? So that's the first thing. He wasn't afraid to feel pain. The second thing is Jesus found the right place. If we read on, it says, "Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him." Jesus was thinking practically. He knew he wasn't going to be able to pray if he was surrounded by people and distractions and all that was going on in his kind of daily life. He withdrew to the Mount of Olives because it was quiet and because he could be alone. In Luke's account, it said he withdrew a stone's throw away from his disciples. He removes himself even further from the people around him. He had no distractions where he was. It was now just a sacred space between him and God. So where is your sacred space that you can use? This can be quite hard to find, can't it? It might take a lot of trial and error, but where can you go? If you have young kids, maybe it's actually like getting in your car and just driving away somewhere. If you can't leave the house, maybe it's a specific chair in the corner of a room. If you find it really hard to sit still, maybe it's going for a walk somewhere behind your house. It's really good to just find a place and make it a sacred space where you can just be alone with God. And it's good to say as well, as a church, we put a lot of effort and time into creating like sacred spaces, and we want to encourage each other in our healthy habits. So do come along to stuff like the prayer room if you want an accountability with your prayer life. It's a really good opportunity to share in each other's prayers. If you want to go deeper in worship, we have Encounter, which is just a time and a space to come close to God. If you need people to talk with, people to encourage you, join a house group. I've just joined one and I'm really loving it. It's super encouraging. We really want to help each other out with this stuff. So yeah, make sure you think about those people that can encourage you. So that's the second thing, Jesus found the right place. The third thing we see in this passage is that Jesus recognized temptation. It says, after Jesus prayed, he went back to his disciples and he says to Peter, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Here we can see that Jesus recognizes that Peter actually needs the discipline of prayer to stop himself from falling into the temptation of rejecting Jesus at this really crucial time. He says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And that really perfectly describes how we can often have the best intention to integrate healthy habits into our lives, but the temptations we face make it really hard for us to do so. So what can we do about that? The Bible talks a lot about how temptation is a tactic that the enemy uses to distract us. Because he can't control us, the enemy just tries to tempt us all the time. And so it's an act of spiritual warfare, really, to resist temptation, which is no wonder why we find it super difficult to do this stuff. But Jesus says, pray that you will not fall into temptation. In other words, integrate this habit into your life and you'll be steered away from the temptation of unhealthy habits. So that's the third thing. Jesus recognizes temptation. The fourth and the final thing in this passage is that Jesus makes space to listen to God. It says in Luke's account of this story, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them, his disciples, sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. So how many times did Jesus pray the same thing? Three times, that's it. We are listening, that's fine. Jesus made space for the Father to respond to him. He prays three times. One of the most challenging but most joyful parts of healthy habits is allowing God to respond to us when we come to him. we can really easily say or do on our kind of own backs, but it's much harder, isn't it, to be still and wait for God to respond to us. But this is a really crucial part of healthy habits if we want to see the fruit of them take shape. When we don't make space to listen, we can very quickly start to think that God isn't even there, or that we kind of aren't doing enough. But often it is just a matter of leaving space to listen. Foster says, when our TV stops working, we don't assume it isn't real. We evaluate how we can get it working, and the same should be done with prayer. So how can you leave space for God to respond to you? Maybe it's sitting in silence or in solitude. Maybe it's just praying before you open your Bible and just asking God to draw things out for you. Maybe it's not singing to worship music. Maybe it's just listening and letting the words kind of wash over you. It's important to leave space for God to respond to us, even when it is really painful and it's quiet and it's frustrating. And it's interesting to note in this passage that the Father didn't take Jesus out of his situation, but he does strengthen him. It says in Luke's account that an angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. Sometimes, even when we wait on God, he doesn't answer our question or give us that thing that we're really wanting or perform a miracle, but he can give us the strength to get through whatever we're facing. Now, you might be thinking, Hattie, that is great, but just in case you didn't know this, I am not Jesus. And that is a great point. But even though Jesus was perfect, we can see in this story that even he, you know, the Son of God, he needs to pray for the strength to stay close to his Father and to integrate this healthy habit. Foster says we need to pray for the desire and endurance to practice healthy habits. It is grace because it is free, but it is discipline because there is something for us to do. We won't be able to integrate healthy habits in our own strength. I've tried it many times and it does not work. We need to pray for the strength that only the Father can give us. He won't always remove temptations or unhealthy habits because they're often a product of human choice, of free will, but he can strengthen us to resist them. And it's so powerful and so healthy when we can admit that we cannot live in our own strength and that we need the strength of the Father. So yeah, as we just come to a finish, I'm just keen to give you space to respond. If I've mentioned something that has maybe struck a chord with you, don't go away and don't leave it. There's going to be the prayer team at the back, hopefully. And if you don't feel comfortable addressing it now, then please get in touch with a friend or a house group leader, a youth leader, or yeah, anybody really, one of the team. And they'd love to arrange a time and meet with you and help you with this stuff. And also just to say, there's going to be house group notes sent around with this talk. So that will be another good opportunity to discuss some of the questions I've put to you today. So to summarize, Foster says this: to step out and experience a life of healthy habits threatens us to the core of our being. And yet there is no other way. Prayerfully, slowly, perhaps with many fears and questions, we need to move into this adventurous life of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I really, really want that. I want an adventurous life of the Spirit. And so if we want to see God making a difference in our lives, we need to integrate healthy habits. But the question is, are you willing to make that sacrifice?
Thank you for Hattie. As Hattie was speaking, I was certainly challenged about habits. And I remember when you talked about finding a special place, a friend of mine, must be about 30 years ago, talked about his father and his abiding memory that when he came down in the morning, his father was sat in a corner in a special chair. Apparently no one else was allowed to sit there, where he had his quiet time in the morning. And he would be there having his quiet time, spending time with God, reading his Bible, and how that had affected my friend. And he saw that at that time, his father was really drawing close to God and was a real challenge to him. And that's actually challenged me, and that's something I'm going to do. So next week, challenge me whether I found that special place. I've already got something in my mind to just every day sit down and spend time with God. So thank you, Hattie. And it's great to see everybody here today. And I hope that you've really felt God's presence. And particularly if you are new here, we have a welcome pack which we'd love to give to you, and we'd love to get to know you. And there will be a welcome meal for people in January. But I just pray that everyone really has felt God's presence. Let's just close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are such a loving God, that you have been here today, that we have been able to worship you, that you have just spoken to us. And I just pray that we don't walk out and say, well, that was great. We had some time together. And I just pray that we may think, what have you been saying to me? What have you been saying to us about our walk with you? How that may be stronger, how that may be even better. And that how can we get habits which will enable us to walk closer with you? And Lord, I pray each one of us will know that and will be able to next week say, yeah, that's been good. That's a habit that I've taken on. Or maybe one that I stopped doing, which is stopping my relationship with you. So thank you, Father, and I just praise you and ask that you bless each person here. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.